Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
And in the booth, we have Ashley Byhun. She is producing the show tonight. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys.
And we're lucky enough to have you tomorrow night, too. So if you like Ashley tonight, you'll like her tomorrow.
She's
going
to be here tomorrow? I'm not coming then.
Fine.
I'm not going to be here.
That's no threat to me.
We
Ashley
love
and I will be
Ashley.
Just fine together.
We love Ashley. All right, we have
too.
Classic radio shows for you all the way until 2 a.m. Suspense, starring Robert Young from 1948. Then it's the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show from 1951 with their special guest, Shelley Winters. And then it's the Philo Vance Detective Show from 1950. So great radio programming, Lisa.
That's what we do here.
I know. Before all of that, though, we're going to play our game. Cat's Pride, is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, our celebrity is Sandra Bullock.
I have heard of her. Yeah.
How about you, Ashley? You know Sandra Bullock?
Oh, yeah, I know her.
Fantastic. The prize is going to be a gift card for Lumel Nottis, the best deep dish pizza anywhere.
All right. And what caller would you like?
We're going to go with caller number 5.
Call now. 312-981-7200. I say 72 and you say 72.
It's true.
I'm going to get you to switch over or be on my side.
Whatever
with the
you do, I will do the opposite.
7200.
That's how we roll.
Call now. Play the game live. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, Lisa, let's get ridiculous.
I was about to do that, but you cut off the song.
I beat
here.
You to it.
I know. We've got Paul on the line. Hey, Paul.
Is Paul there?
He is. It's Ashley's job over there.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great.
Good. So good to hear from you. We're going to do a little Sandra Bullock. You up on your Sandra Bullock fun facts?
I hope so.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. Ashley, you want to play along with us?
Sure, I'm ready. Sounds
good. Okay, number one, she is fluent in Italian. Paul, what do you think? Is that real or ridiculous?
I wouldn't put it past her. I would say that's probably true. She seems like a pretty smart actress and stuff, and I think she may be fluent in Italian.
All right, Ashley?
I agree. Maybe, possibly. Possibly.
All right, and Carl?
No, I'm not going to agree. I'm going to say ridiculous.
She is not fluent in Italian that I know of. I just made that up. That is ridiculous.
This is for you guys.
No, that's not for those guys.
Yeah, and this is me.
No,
oh, wait,
Carl.
I did it completely wrong. I did it exactly the opposite.
That's what you generally
What's
do.
What's on my brain?
You don't have to do it again.
All right,
we're good.
All right.
Okay, let's go to number two. Okay, Bob.
I goofed that all up.
She has a pacemaker. Is that real or ridiculous?
I think that's ridiculous.
Ashley?
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Carl?
Pacemaker? I'm going to say real. I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say real.
It is ridiculous.
Oh, shoot.
You had me for a mouth. Like, no way.
All right, this is for you guys.
Oh, he's got it right this time.
And this is for me.
All right, one more to go. She won the Oscar for Best Actress and the Razzie for Worst Actress. What do you think, Paul? Is that real or ridiculous?
I think that's true.
All right.
I think she's done both.
Ashley?
I'm going to go against Paul on this one.
All right. You think? Which one do you think was part? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Paul is right. It is absolutely real.
It is real. She won the Oscar for Best Actress for The Blind Side and the Razzie for Worst Actress for All About Steve. Now, of course, I saw The Blind Side. I guess I missed All About Steve, but maybe that
and
was a good thing.
This is for Ashley.
Poor Ashley.
Yeah. So
well,
Paul,
you know what, Paul? You're
Paul
the winner.
Did great.
Paul, you won. You've got a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, which is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza and our favorite here at WGN Radio Theater. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Carl's favorite is a spinach pizza. So,
love spinach.
You know, you never know if it's feeling good. You can always send one over this way. Just kidding.
Way to go, Paul.
Enjoy your pizza.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. Well, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Did you get a nap in, Lisa?
I did not, Carl.
Uh-oh, we need you to text in because she will be sleeping in about an hour if you're not texting in.
Sleeping, snoring,
she'll be
all
in a fetal
above.
Position in the corner, sleeping. So,
I generally make my way to the corner of the WGN studio.
And this is what
studio.
She sounds like.
Is that right? I actually have actual video footage of him sleeping and snoring, which
I don't sleep.
I've never. Right?
I don't sleep. I
you
stay up
sleep.
24 hours a day.
Well, that must be the problem.
One of my many problems.
Oh, yes.
All right. It's time now for radio's greatest series of mystery suspense. This came to radio way back in the early 40s, lasted until the 1960s, on the air 23 years, Suspense. And all the big name Hollywood stars appeared on Suspense, Lisa. And on this particular episode, Robert Young and Virginia Bruce star in a show called Celebration from September 23rd, 1948. Here's part one now of Suspense.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Robert Young and Miss Virginia Bruce in Anton Leder's production of Celebration, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
A couple more miles and I'll be there. I wonder how she is today. If there were only some way to get through to her, to make her understand. Well, I can't put it off any longer. For her sake.
It's a big, wide, wonderful world. I sang. Todd was coming for me. As I packed my suitcase, I looked out of the windows. The gardens were lovely, the patio with the peasant furniture. Some of the girls were playing badminton. Some were in the pool. Todd was coming for me, and I had a surprise for him. It's a big, wide, wonderful world. Oh, let's see, where's my pink bed jacket? Bottom drawer. It was here, I think. Well, where's the white one? Oh, dear. I couldn't seem to find anything, but I didn't care. Todd was coming for me. It's a big, wide, wonderful world. I knew what he'd say. Oh, Emily. Emily, how I've missed you. He'd hold me so hard and rub his cheek on my hair and kiss me. And I'd tell him about the surprise. I'd say...
Mrs. Ward!
Yes?
It's Mrs. Halleck.
Oh, one moment, Mrs. Halleck. I pushed my suitcase under the bed. Come in, Mrs. Halleck.
Your husband just phoned, Mrs. Ward. He'll be here soon.
Oh, Todd, such a darling. Thank you, Mrs. Halleck. You've been so kind to me.
Well, I try to be to all the ladies.
I just have to put on my perfume. It's Passionate Night. Do you like it?
Mm-hmm, grand.
Oh, careful, you're spilling it. Oh, I can't seem to hold things.
Well, it didn't break. Stand back. I'll wipe it off.
Oh, thanks. Heavens, I used to fill this dress out, and now I look like a scarecrow in it, don't I?
You look grand. Now, you have everything. Your hat, gloves, purse.
Oh, of course.
Well, you remember last time you went for a drive?
Last time?
Oh, I didn't see your suitcase.
Well, I was just packing it. I thought I wouldn't come back tonight.
Well, did you want to get this bunch of letters in your suitcase, too?
Of course. Give them to me. They're Todd's letters. Todd simply adores me, Mrs. Halleck.
I'm sure he does.
Just listen to this letter and you'll see. Darling, you are my happiness. I can't live without you. You're as necessary as... When I looked up, she was gone. She had left while I was reading. I knew what she'd do. She'd tell Todd I dropped that perfume.
I think you should understand, Mr. Ward.
I could hear her talking to Todd downstairs in the vestibule.
I appreciate all you've done for her, Mrs. Halleck.
As I told you in the letter, she would be better off in a place where she'd get personal attention.
I'll take care of it.
That woman, that two-faced... She came in and told me Todd was waiting downstairs. I danced down the stairs to Todd.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Todd. Todd.
And now, if you'll excuse me, please.
Oh, of course. Thank you. Emily, come here.
Oh, Todd.
Emily. Oh, Emily, how I've missed you.
Todd.
You know, dear, today's an important day. Our 8th wedding anniversary.
Why, Todd, we were married only 6 weeks ago.
What?
I mean, oh, I never can remember dates.
Well, we're going to celebrate.
Oh, darling.
Really celebrate this anniversary. We're going to all the places we used to go. The lake, Lover's Lane. Come on, darling, let's go. How can I tell her? What can I say? How can I do the things I must do? If only we could really turn back the clock. Back to before she fell down the stairs. Back to a time before the doctors told me about the pressure on her brain. The fact that any operation would prove fatal. If we only could go back to those wonderful days so long ago and keep them forever. But there's no turning back the clock. Not ever.
Smell those pines.
Yes.
Todd, didn't you wonder why I brought a suitcase?
Well, yes, I did.
That's because of the surprise.
Surprise?
Yes. I'm not going back to the club, Todd. I'm coming home with you.
Wonderful, dear.
And I'm going to make chintz drapes for the living room and do the bathroom over with a full-length mirror and the kitchen lots of stunning color.
Now you're talking.
It'll be a big job, but we don't care, do we?
Of course not. But let's celebrate first, huh? If she only could understand how much that home of ours meant to me. If only she knew how deeply it hurt to see her. To hear her now, the way she has been ever since the accident. The way she must be as long as that pressure is on her brain. If only she could understand.
Todd didn't want to go home. I saw the side of his face. He was looking straight ahead. A sad look. Closed up, sort of. Then we turned in at the lake and he cheered up.
Look at that water, Emily.
Yes.
Have you ever seen anything so blue?
No.
Nothing is blue except your eyes.
Oh, you darling flatterer.
Well, here's our old parking place.
Isn't it awfully quiet?
You know, Emily, we could live a whole lifetime and never find anything better than we have right here.
He opened the door.
I'll get some blankets out of the back.
I sat there while he went around to the back. I was alone again. People were always going away and leaving me alone. Oh, now, now, put a brave face on it, Emily. Powder your face and fix your lips. I opened my purse and groped around for my lipstick. Oh, dear, it wanted to spill like that. I reached down to pick up my things. Lipstick, compact. And my hand touched something. A little box. It was heavy. I read the words on the label. 38 caliber soft-nosed shells. Bullets.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Robert Young and Miss Virginia Bruce in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
everything was so lovely until I found that little box. I opened it, looked down at the bullets in it. What did Todd want with bullets? The box was only half full. I could hear Todd still rummaging around in the back of the car. I put the cover back on the box when I heard him coming around to the side.
All set? I've got the blankets.
I held the box of bullets under my purse.
Come on, darling. Let's get out on that beach.
You lead the way.
Okay.
I followed Todd 3 or 4 steps. Then I let the box slip out of my hand.
Here we are. I'll spread the blankets. Come on, Emily. Let's curl up and take it easy.
Thank you.
Look at that lake.
Todd, what were you going to do with those bullets in the car?
What bullets? That imagination of yours.
Oh, but I saw them, held them in my hands. The box was about half full.
Come on, dear. Close to me, here.
Todd, I'm sure
darling,
I saw...
Darling, please.
My head aches, Todd.
No, rubbing's the thing.
Oh, you're hurting me.
I'm sorry, darling.
Oh, no.
Something the matter?
Oh, man.
Yes. What do you want?
I heard her cry as I was passing.
Well, she's all right.
Mm-hmm. Nice car you got over there.
Yes.
Thought the missus wasn't feeling well.
She's all right.
Lonely place here, huh? Well, I'll be getting along.
Where did he come from?
I thought we were alone here.
Alone?
We have so few moments together, Emily.
I get so scared. I look it, don't I?
Darling, why, when you came down the stairs today, you were radiant.
Was I? Was I really?
You were beautiful.
Why am I like that sometimes and sometimes...
You were my life, Emily. Come here.
Oh, Todd. Oh, you do want me. Kiss me again.
Emily. Emily, in all the world, there could never be another woman like you. You've given me more happiness than...
God. God, I dream of this. I live for it.
Yes, but, Emily, I...
Don!
Emily, listen to me.
God, please!
Darling, the doctor said...
What doctor?
You know, when you went to see the doctor...
But that was ages ago. You all talk behind my back so I can't hear what you say. You and Mrs. Halleck.
I just asked her how you were, and... You must believe I love you, Emily.
Oh, I do.
That's fine. Here's where we built the sand castle, remember?
And the wave melted it. Oh, Todd, that day when I was caught in the undertow.
But I pulled you out, dear.
I was sinking. I keep dreaming about that. Sinking down into the black and you not there.
I'll be with you always, Emily.
Oh, let's leave here, Todd. You said we'd go to all the places and celebrate. I mean, there'll be lots of people around.
People?
And... Yes, it'll be fun. We can have dinner at the inn.
No, it'll be crowded, Emily, and...
Say.
Oh, it's that man again.
Did you lose these things?
What things?
This box of bullets.
Bullets?
Found them in the sand, just a few steps from your car. Thought maybe you dropped them.
I dropped them. See, I told you, Todd. Those are the bullets I found in the car. Is the box half full?
Well, looks like somebody loaded a gun out of it. 38 caliber, soft-nosed shell, says on the box.
Oh, I'll bet I know. I let Ernie take the car yesterday.
Ernie?
Yeah, he's gone in for target practice.
Who's Ernie?
Why, he's...
Maybe he got them for you.
Yeah, I figured they were yours, mister. Looked like they'd just been dropped beside your car up there.
Oh, thanks. Well, Emily, if we're going to the inn, we'd better get started.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense, starring Robert Young and Virginia Bruce in celebration. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
All right, it is 11:40, and we'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Lisa and I and the whole gang here are here every single Saturday and Sunday night beginning at 11 p.m., and we play all your favorite classic radio shows, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Our Miss Brooks, My Favorite Husband. I know Lisa likes that.
And if you're really nice to us, we take suggestions.
Yes.
But only from the nice people.
Yes. You have to be nice. You could text us at 312-981-7200. We play all your favorite shows. Make sure you tell a friend. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights beginning at 11:05 and running until 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays and 1 a.m. on Sundays.
And don't forget, we have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. Every week I post the schedule for Saturday and Sunday, and I post a fun fact on there. And we have a great fun fact this week. Check it out. It is
About Jerry Lewis.
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
It's a great photo and a great fun fact, so we'd love you to check it out.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll tell my Jerry Lewis story. You know, Jerry licensed me all of the Martin and Lewis shows, and I met him many times in New York and other places, but my very first time I met Jerry Lewis, I was 15 minutes late for our lunch. He wasn't there. He left.
That's right.
Taught me a lesson. Don't be late for Jerry Lewis.
Or anybody else, for that matter.
That's right. Why do you think I'm never late anymore? I'm always early wherever
you
I go.
You are extremely early.
I'm always early. If I say I'm going to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, I'm there at least 20 to 5.
You're there at least 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's actually a little crazy.
Jerry Lewis taught me that.
Well, that's good, but you may have gone too far.
Maybe I have. All right. Let's get back now to suspense.
That was too close. She nearly caught me. But it's too soon for her to know. I've got to be careful. But I can't wait too long. I have to cut the celebration short.
You wait here, Emily. It's been so long since we were here. I'd better see what it's like.
All right.
I'll be back in a minute.
I was alone again. Oh, relax, Emily. If Todd didn't come out in a minute, I'd go in after him. What I needed was a cigarette. I opened the glove compartment. Handkerchiefs, map, flashlight, gloves. No cigarettes. I pulled out an envelope. An envelope addressed to Todd at his office. Marked personal. I unfolded the letter. Dear Mr. Ward, Dr. Kernitz today confirmed that Mrs. Ward's condition is becoming progressively worse, and she needs more personal attention than we can give her. And since we are not equipped to care for hypomanic patients, we request that you make other arrangements for her at your earliest convenience. Sincerely, Bertha Halleck. Mrs. Halleck! I threw the letter back in the glove compartment and slammed the door.
This place is terrible.
Is it?
It's all run down. We'll drive out into the country, find a quiet spot.
Oh, no, Todd. Drive into town. We can have dinner at the hotel. There'll be music and we can dance.
You know, excitement isn't good for you.
Please, Todd. Please take me.
Anything the matter here, mister?
No. My wife doesn't feel well.
Something wrong, lady?
No. I'm all right. Oh, let's drive into the hotel, Todd.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful, darling.
Wonderful. Let's drink to us, dear.
To us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Todd, you do really mean it.
More than anything in the world.
Would you get the order now, sir?
Yes. What would you like, Emily? Roast beef, southern fried chicken, lobster thermidor, duck with orange?
I'll have the southern fried chicken.
Good.
I'm afraid the chicken is all gone, madame.
Oh, that's the one thing I want. Southern fried chicken and everything that goes with it.
I'm sorry, madame.
Well, maybe there's just one order left.
I'll see what I can do. You, sir?
Lobster thermidor.
Yes, sir.
A Roomba.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes, let's.
Come on. The way your face lights up, darling.
Being in your arms again.
Oh. Just relax, dear. Oh, excuse us, please. I'm sorry.
Oh, the music isn't right, and why is everybody bumping into us?
Shh. Let's go back to our table.
All right. Oh, thank heaven.
There was just one more order of chicken left, sir. I'll serve you in a moment.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Where's my purse?
Right here, behind the flower bowl. And bulging full. What have you got in there?
Your letters.
Oh, no.
Yes, I read them over and over. You wrote this one from Omaha. Darling, you are my happiness. I can't live without you.
Emily.
You're as necessary as the air I breathe.
Emily, people are listening. Better give me those letters.
No, but they're mine. You wrote them to me.
Of course, Emily.
Don't you mean what you said in them?
Certainly I do. Only please quiet down here.
Oh, that awful music. Those lights.
Emily, here's the waiter with our food.
Uh-oh.
May I serve you, madame?
What's that?
Fried chicken.
Oh, Todd, you know I never eat anything fried.
But the lady insisted, sir. Southern fried chicken and everything that goes with it.
Well, take it away. I'll pay for it.
Yes.
Oh, maybe this once won't hurt.
Very good. Here you are, madame. The lobster, sir?
Thank you.
Not very appetizing chicken, is it?
Why not try it? Go ahead, darling.
There's no taste to it. Why are all these people making so much noise? Todd, take me home. I'm not hungry. I want to go home.
Emily, we sublet our house 3 months ago. Don't you remember when you...
When I...
Darling, we have no... Emily, dear, you must realize that we no longer have a place.
Todd was talking, but I couldn't seem to hear what he was saying. Inside, I was all stirred up.
The best thing we can do is get out of here. Come on, darling.
We got up and left. Got into our car out in the parking lot.
Where are those keys? Let's see, I...
Todd, are you taking me home?
We're going out where we can be together, alone. To our lover's lane, remember? Where it's quiet and peaceful.
No. No, Todd, I want to go home.
This is our 8th wedding anniversary, Emily. We're celebrating.
Oh, Todd.
Where are those keys?
Well, maybe they're in your top coat in the back seat.
No, they're not there.
What makes your coat so heavy? Oh. What are you doing with the revolver?
Give it to me. I'll put it in my pocket so it... Oh, here are my keys.
Todd, those bullets were...
Emily, please.
Now I see what you... Now I know.
Yes, now she knows. There's no time to lose. I've got to drive fast, get there and do it. Only she could understand. Understand that it will be better this way. Better for both of us. Emily, try not to get so excited.
But those bullets, you said they were Ernie's. Who's Ernie?
Half an hour ago, I told you I loved you. Remember?
Yes, I know you did, but...
Well, I do. I love you more than living.
Why are you slowing down?
Here's our lover's lane. You used to call it our paradise, remember?
It's so dark now.
Here's our magic circle under our big tree.
Todd, you're...
Come, darling. Come into my arms. There.
You do love me. You do want to be with me, don't you?
Forever, Emily. The one way we can be together forever, dear, is...
No, Todd. Put that gun down. I want to live with you.
I have to tell you, darling. Listen carefully. You're not well, Emily. You're never going to be well again.
Oh, yes, I will, Todd. Yes, I will. I'll be a real wife to you. I'll be everything you want me to be.
I can't stand living without you. We'll go together.
Together?
Yes. Now, rest against me, sweetheart. Close your eyes. There.
Will it hurt much, Todd?
Only an instant, dear.
Oh, the gun is so cold on my temple.
Quiet now. I'll be with you in a moment.
No, No! Take it away!
Emily,
you kill me and leave me alone! Don't die! Don't!
I won't kill you! I didn't!
Stop!
I won't go through with it! Emily, stop it! Stop it, Emily!
Slowly. I became aware of pain in my head. There was a smell, like a hospital. I fought to remember what had happened. I'd fallen downstairs. Oh no, that had been a long time ago. There was a gun. Todd and I struggling. That was it. Then I heard Todd talking.
Doctor, I want to tell you what happened.
I think I know, Mr. Ward. Your wife suffered a head injury some time ago, which caused the bone to press on the frontal lobe of her brain, causing acute hypomania. Isn't that right?
Yes, but you see...
I've seen many people, Mr. Ward, whose loved ones faced a living death, so I can imagine your thoughts.
Yes, but you must understand, I meant to end it.
Hmm?
For both of us. But when the time came, I couldn't. I just couldn't. Well, what happened was an accident.
A very fortunate accident. Because the bullet which struck your wife's head tonight did what medical science could not do.
Huh?
The operations necessary to remove the bullet served two purposes. And your speed in getting her here saved both her life and her sanity.
She'll be all right?
After a couple of weeks of rest. And your wife is no longer a hypomanic, Mr. Ward. If I were you, I'd give thanks to whatever fate guided that bullet along the course it took.
Right then, I knew that everything was wonderful. Even the pain in my head. And Todd was by my side, bending over me.
Emily.
Oh, Todd.
Emily, darling. Can you ever forgive me?
Forgive you, darling? After what the doctor said? Oh, Todd.
I just couldn't live without you. I wanted us always to be together.
And now we will be. Darling, isn't this our 8th wedding anniversary?
Yeah.
Well then, let's celebrate.
Thank you, Robert Young and Virginia Bruce, for such splendid performances tonight. Our stars will return in just a moment.
In its 26 nationwide plants, Autolite manufactures bumpers, die castings, horns, instruments and gauges, lights, ornamental plastics, and more than 400 other automotive, aviation, and marine products. All are famous the world over for their Autolite engineered dependability.
And now, here is Mr. Robert Young.
It's been a pleasure to appear again on Suspense, and doubly a pleasure when it meant co-starring with beautiful Virginia Bruce.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure for me, too. But there's another pleasure I'm looking forward to, hearing next week's Suspense.
We all are. Because next week, Edward G. Robinson will star in an unusual story called The Man Who Wanted to Be Edward G. Robinson. Another gripping study in...
Suspense.
Virginia Bruce may soon be seen in the Paramount picture, Night Has a Thousand Eyes. And Robert Young appears soon in his latest RKO production, Baltimore Escapade. Tonight's suspense play was written by Phyllis Parker and Arnold Marquis, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leder. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Ray Milland, William Powell, Lucille Ball, John Garfield, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Edward G. Robinson in The Man Who Wanted to Be Edward G. Robinson.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. Drive as if your life depends on it. It does. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense from September 23rd, 1948. Celebration, starring Robert Young along with Virginia Bruce, as heard on CBS. That was sponsored by Autolite.
She sounds switched like a to, Stepford wife, doesn't
yeah, switched
she?
Switched to Autolite.
Autolite. Good night.
And the conductor on this was Lud Gluskin. He was a conductor on a lot of shows, but if your name was Lud, no offense to anyone out there
maybe
named Lud.
Lud, short for like Ludwig.
Ludwig. Yeah, Ludwig. Like but then his Beethoven. Last name was Gluskin. Lud Gluskin. That's quite the moniker.
It rhymes with glutton.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We have much more classic radio shows for you. We're going to give away more prizes.
Yes,
right?
We are.
What's the prize in the next hour?
We're going to give away a Never Measure.
Oh, really?
The one I won't share with you.
What about in our third hour?
We're going to give away a Twilight Zone radio drama.
Yeah, see? It's actually not one drama. It's four dramas. It's four shows.
I said
on
a Twilight Zone radio dramas.
All right, so in our next hour, we have the Martin and Lewis Show. And do check out our fun fact. It's about Jerry Lewis, and I think you'll really enjoy seeing some fun pictures of them.
It is posted on our Facebook page.
On our Facebook, yeah. We have Martin and Lewis coming your way, and their special guest is Shelley Winters. And you know what, Lisa? I was on an airplane with Shelley Winters. I've told you this story, right?
Yeah, I remember.
She was so much fun. I talked to her for quite a while. She actually, well, you know, everybody knew it was her.
Are you sitting in first class with the celebrities?
Of course. This is when I used to fly, you know, when I sold my business and they would fly me all over first class all the time. Well, you know what? She was so great. I mean, it was fun to meet an Academy, two-time Academy Award winner. And she was so animated and just friendly to everyone because we were waiting to get on the plane.
I'm sorry. I'm still back at first class. I'm pretty sure I've never
flown first class.
Nope. No, I have not.
Really?
Nope. No,
all
I
right.
have not.
Well, you should try it sometime.
Yes, you should.
I should.
Pretty good.
It is.
It's actually good.
It's very good.
Well,
very
when
nice.
Somebody pays for it, then I'll do it.
Especially when it's handed to you as a gift by the gate attendant. That's a wonderful
yeah,
moment.
That's
when you don't
nice
pay for
too.
It, everything's better.
Yeah.
Right?
Blue bonnet on it. Everything's better with blue bonnet on it.
Okay.
We know how old we are now, don't we? Mm-hmm.
And then there would like be like bump ba da dum. There was another one where there was a crown would appear.
Was that parquet?
Parquet? No, that was parquet. Remember that little thing?
It was the royal one. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Blue bonnet,
about.
I think. I don't know.
I don't know.
Our third hour, Philo Vance Detective. So a lot more classic radio coming your way. But right now it's time for WGN News. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. It is 12:01 in the morning. Time for news. Here's David Jennings. This is the kind of music Lisa listens to in the car.
I'm trying to listen
to like 93.1. I'm trying to listen to like you know, rock, and she wants to listen to vaudeville music.
I'm more eclectic than you are. And just so everybody
knows,
there's
nothing wrong with vaudeville music, by the way.
I like that. It was Imperial, and we had a lot of people who texted in to let
us
know.
Right.
So thank you so much.
Imperial Margarine.
Yes.
Those, I remember those. You know, and they made a lot of them. And I, you know, you'd watch for every other week or so, there'd be a new one. Somebody would come out and he'd say something, and then there was a crown on his head or a girl, whatever. Crown on the head.
Isn't that funny that we remember that?
Yeah.
I know Dave has done some segments on, you know, advertisements that just were memorable, and this was one of them.
Absolutely. Of course, the Mikey one was very, you know, hey, Mikey.
Hey,
Mikey.
But you're close.
Wait, hey, Mikey.
No. He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
He likes everything, right? Something, I can't remember now. But anyway, something like that. And then there was, what are some of the other really crazy ones? Spirograph. Remember the Spirograph?
I love those commercials.
Spirograph?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was a really good artist, but then I realized anyone can do it. All right. In this hour, it is the Martin and Lewis Show. We're going to have a lot of fun going back to 1951 with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and their special guest, Shelley Winters. That is coming your way in just a few minutes. But right now, it's time to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yes, the celebrity is Bill Murray.
Okay.
One of my favorites. Okay, sounds good. And the prize is the highly coveted Never Measure.
All right.
Which is a great tool to use at home to measure and hang your wall decorations.
Yeah, I wonder if you use that with a Spirograph, what would happen? The Never Measure and the Spirograph together.
That's confusing.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Give us a call.
Caller number four.
Caller number four,
call
please.
Now.
So call now. Bye.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Let's get ridiculous.
We have Ernie on the phone to get ridiculous. Hey, Ernie.
Well, hello, Lisa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Even better now that you get to play a little WGN Radio Theater games, right?
Always, yes.
All right. All right, we're going to do a little Bill Murray. You're in with us, too. Ashley, number one. Bill Murray was the very first guest on Late Night with David Letterman. Is that real or ridiculous, Ernie?
I'm going to say that's real.
Real. What do you think, Ashley?
I think I'm going to go with Ernie.
Sounds real. Carl, do you like to go with the grain?
No, I'm going to go against the grain.
Carl doesn't like to go with
the grain. I'm going to go against the grain.
You should go with the grain, Carl, because it is real. It was 1982. Yes, you do.
All right, here's for you guys. And here's me.
All right, number two. Bill Murray accidentally broke Harold Ramis's nose in 1993. Is that real or ridiculous, Ernie?
That's ridiculous.
Is that ridiculous, Ashley?
I'm going to go with Ernie. I'm going to ride with him.
All right.
It's 100% ridiculous. He broke Robert De Niro's nose.
That is right. That is correct. That is absolutely true.
How
good
like
job.
That, huh?
That was very
Don't
good.
Don't mess with me
yeah,
and
well,
Ernie
oh, I'll
and
mess
Ashley.
With you. Well, I won't mess with them, but I will mess with you. Number three, he was offered the role of Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story, but turned it down. Is that real or ridiculous?
You know what? Let's go real on that one.
All right. Ashley?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Ernie again. I think he's been a safe bet.
Yes, he is.
Yes, it's true. He did, was offered it, and he didn't take it.
I'm sorry to inform all of you that that is incorrect. Not correct. But I'm pretty sure you got some of them right.
Two out of three Ernie got, and I got only one.
So either Ashley?
She got two,
well,
I think.
She did however Ernie did. So you're the big winner, Ernie. You won a Never Measure. It's a really great tool. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. No need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. They're veteran-owned, made in the USA. You get yours and get more information at nevermeasure.com. Thank you so much for playing. You will love your Never Measure.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's great to hear from you, Ernie.
All right. Ernie did great. He got two out of three. That's pretty darn
Maybe
good.
You should take some lessons,
I should.
Carl.
I should just go with the listeners. They're way smarter
really
than I am.
You should not go against the grain.
I know. All right. Well, it's time for Martin and Lewis. They were a comedy team that really got together in 1945. They met in 1945. They started doing a nightclub act. And the routines were ad-libbed with Martin doing the singing and Jerry kind of mugging, you know, for laughs. It was slapstick, vaudeville jokes, crazy antics, but they were super, super popular. And then what happened in 1949, the Bob Hope Show went on summer hiatus, and NBC said, well, you know, these guys right down the block here are doing great in the vaudeville circuit. Let's give them a summer replacement show. So they did. And guess what?
Huge
on radio. They got their own radio show. They were huge. They were huge, Lisa. They got their own radio show. And then they got their own television show. They started doing movies. It was unbelievable. But you know what? They broke up. 10 years to the day that they started working together, exactly 10 years, on July 25th, 1956. And they split up. There's really a lot of speculation as to why they split up. It's really never been authenticated as why they broke up, but they did, and both men went on to great success, yeah, solo careers. So we have a Martin and Lewis radio show for you now from November 16th, 1951. The special guest was Shelley Winters. This is written by Norman Lear. You know who that is,
of
right?
Of course.
Yeah, All in the Family, yes. Fame, other many other shows, too. Let's tune this in, part one of the Martin and Lewis show.
From Hollywood, we present the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our master of ceremonies.
Hi, folks, it's Dean Martin. Well, another Friday has rolled around, and all hands are on deck for our weekly voyage across the airwaves. This show is Lucky 7 on our current series for Anderson and Dentine, and it's really a pleasure to be associated with these great products. Jerry should be along any minute now, but he's been a little upset. You see, his dog had pups yesterday, 9 little springers. Now, ordinarily, Jerry could take that in his stride, but he doesn't quite understand it. You see, his dog's name is Arthur. Well, anyway, until man's second best friend gets here, I'd like to turn hillbilly and do one of my latest recordings entitled Take the Night Train to Memphis. Take that night train to Memphis, take that night train to Memphis, and when you arrive at the station, I'll be right there to meet you, I'll be right there to greet you, so don't turn down my invitation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'll be shouting hallelujah all the day. Oh, we'll have a jubilee down in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'll shout hallelujah all the day.
Stranger, she's missing a few.
Night train to Memphis, take that night train to Memphis, and when you arrive at the station, I'll be right there to meet you, I'll be right there to greet you, so don't turn down my invitation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'll be shouting hallelujah all the day. I will have a jubilee down in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'll shout hallelujah all the day. Ah!
Thank you, folks, and right now I'd like to...
I'm going to take the day coach to Memphis. Oh, 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 oh. Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga Choo Choo? Track 22.
Hey, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
What's with the Jerry, Jerry, Jerry? I'm not triplets.
Triplets? I'm not even sure your mother had one child.
Now, you listen here, Dean.
I'm tired of you picking on me. I'm going to tell you off.
Go ahead. I'm all ears.
Well, you should have had them clip when they did your nose.
There you go with your insults again. You always hurt me, Jerry. You want to irritate me. You go out of your way to aggravate me.
Tell the truth. Aren't I a rascal?
I'll tell you what you are. You're loud, coarse, vulgar, and uncouth.
So that's why Frank and Ava didn't invite me to the wedding.
Jerry, now, let's stop this arguing. I want to have a serious talk.
Speak up. I'm all ears.
You should have had them off when you clipped your head.
Now you're starting again. All right, D. Martin, from now on, I'm getting tough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
He ad-libbed. I don't know where I am.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's time to introduce our first guest.
Oh, grand. Who is our first guest? Tell me. Confide in me. I hang on your every word.
Well, I invite a very distinguished gentleman, one of the world's leading authorities on fine foods.
Oh, excuse me, Dean, but your guest hasn't arrived yet. Shall I have Dick play something till he gets here?
Oh, no, I got a better idea, Jimmy. Hey, Dean, how about letting me speak for the authority on fine foods? I'm a glutton.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are proud to present one of our foremost epicures, a gourmet who has tasted every conceivable dish at every conceivable restaurant, the connoisseur of fine foods, Mr. Conrad Von Crunch. Well, how are you, Mr. Von Crunch?
I got heartburn.
Oh, that's a shame. Do you get heartburn often?
Only when I eat.
You must eat the wrong foods. Have you ever had an ulcer?
No, but I've had an avocado. Very good with sour cream.
Tell me, Mr. Von Crunch, how did you decide to become a gourmet?
Well, I was always interested in two things. Good food and beautiful women.
But you lean toward the food, eh?
No, I lean toward the women. They pushed me into the food.
I imagine that your taste is very cosmopolitan.
Most of the time, but occasionally I like the ladies' home china.
No, you don't understand me. I mean, you enjoy all sorts of foreign food.
Oh, I've eaten in every restaurant in the world.
Do you have a favorite?
My favorite is a little place right outside of Dublin, Ireland, Finnegan's Grill.
Finnegan's Grill? What's the specialty of the house?
Matzo ball soup.
Not an Irish dish.
Then crepe Suzette's ain't a French dish.
But crepe Suzette's is a French dish.
Yeah, then what are blintzes?
Well, it beats me. I always thought they were ravioli. Do you like ravioli?
No, I don't care for that Swedish food.
Tell me, Mr. Von Crunch, is it true that real epicures like their steaks very rare?
The rarer, the better.
Well, how do you fix your steaks?
Well, usually I just hang it on a hook and walk past it with a lit cigarette.
Well, for goodness sake.
Oh, that's nothing. Some folks run past.
What is the most unusual dish you have ever eaten?
What is the most unusual dish? Oh, yeah, once I ate a cracked Wedgwood dinner plate.
No, I mean that.
And I finished it off with 2 cups of saucer and a pop-up toaster.
Okay. You don't seem to understand. I mean unusual food.
This is usual food.
Any other interesting experiences?
Well, there was the time I had lunch with the Shah of Balderdash. The main course was chicken fried pomegranates.
Chicken fried pomegranates? How were they prepared?
They were dipped in sweet and sour breadcrumbs, boiled in kerosene, and served on a flaming pretzel.
Boiled in kerosene? Well, how'd it taste?
The pretzels were too salty.
Tell me, Mr. Von Crunch, any other interesting experiences in your travels?
Well, on my last European trip, I managed to have dinner at the Kremlin.
Really? What was the main course?
Roast stuffed peasant.
Don't you mean pheasant?
I see you've never dined at the Kremlin.
Mr. Von Crunch, our time is running short. But before you go, I wonder if you'd like to give us one of your favorite recipes.
Well, my all-time favorite is French fried orange peels.
Well, tell me more, tell me more.
It's very simple, it's very simple.
What? They didn't pay a double admission here. Go ahead, go ahead.
All right, all right. You take. You take the orange oranges and cut the peels into strips a quarter of an inch wide and 10 inches long.
Well, how can you get a 10-inch strip from an orange?
Idiot, you use a grapefruit.
Sure.
Now, you place the peels in a bowl and add a level forkful of sugar.
A level forkful?
If that isn't sweet enough, you can add a heaping pinch of nutmeg, a grain of salt, a dash of pepper, a drop of vinegar, a touch of olive oil, a pat of butter, and 3/4 of a pound of chicken fat.
Well, it sounds absolutely delicious.
Delicious? You speak about delicious. In all your life, you've never tasted anything more sickening than this dish.
Oh, no, you get out. All right, there's the first portion of the Martin and Lewis Show, going back to November 16th, 1951. Special guest, Shelley Winters. That's coming up in just a few minutes. First, these words.
Patrick Kane with NHL point number 900.
Chicago. Tuesday night, Kaner and the guys head to Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Chris Bowden's got your pregame at 7:30. The Blackhawks puck drop at 8 o'clock.
This is Patrick Kane on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
I want to invite all of our listeners to go to ClassicRadioClub.com. And now you can join for the first month for only $1. We want you to experience the Classic Radio Club. You can get 10 classic radio shows sent to you via digital download along with copious liner notes for only $1 the first month. And if you want CDs of those same 10 shows, they are on 5 CDs in a collector case. And that's only $1, but you have to pay the shipping and handling of only $4.99. That's the first month. You don't have to write any kind of code in, nothing. It's there now for all of our listeners, only $1. Just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Carl, so are you going to watch the Super Bowl tonight?
I am going to watch the Super Bowl. My
Good.
Son and I are going to watch it together.
Good. That sounds fun.
Who do you think's going to win, Lisa?
I'm going to go with the Rams.
You're going with the Rams?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that
Why?
You're going to go with the Rams. Well, they're a good team.
Well, they're both good teams, obviously.
I don't bet against Tom Brady. I just don't. He's too good, and he only needs like 30 seconds to score a touchdown many times.
You know, I'm more about the halftime show and the ads than the, you know, and the community of the game more than anything else. So.
Right. Lisa's like, hey, they shot a puck through the goal.
There's no
uprights.
Pucks, yeah. Pretty close.
No, it'll be great. It'll be a good game.
But it's just fun to hang out with friends
two
and
really
family
good teams in there.
Have a lot of fun.
You're going to have like a little party at your house or anything like that?
No.
No?
No parties.
No
I'm going to be at the radio station shortly thereafter.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, it's time for WGN News at exactly 12:30. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
What's the weather in Schaumburg? I know the weather in Schaumburg is
Well,
said,
the weather in Schaumburg's pretty nice. But,
what about Schaumburg?
Well, you know, it keeps moving around, and it's really hard to nail down an exact temperature.
Yeah.
You know what, Roger? I actually noted you paused before you said the word Schaumburg because I think that you have a little post-traumatic stress disorder.
Because I wanted to look over at our weather page to give you the exact conditions.
Well, either that or you were concerned about saying the word properly.
No, I can say Schaumburg real good.
Real good.
Real good.
I talk real good.
Real good.
Good.
I talk real good.
Roger,
six
what were
months
we
ago, I couldn't even spell salesman, and now I are one. It was an old sign my dad had in his workshop.
It was
hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I'm glad that Schaumburg and Schaumburg.
If I ever can get a bearing on Schaumburg, I'll let you know.
Please do. Okay. Please do. All right. What do you think of Martin and Lewis? Are you enjoying
you
this
know,
Martin and Lewis
you
show?
You know how I feel about them. Please.
You know what?
Please, Carl.
They were geniuses, both guys.
They're genii.
And look how they went on and were super successful. In solo careers. I mean, Dean Martin, one of the greatest singers of all time. He had that great television show. Remember with the Gold Diggers?
Yeah, sure.
And then he made great movies, Matt Helm and some of the other things he did.
I got that whole series on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
All the Matt Helm movies.
He was sort of like a James Bond, you know? Well, I don't know if Lisa, you know what we're talking about? Matt Helm, you ever
I
seen
do.
Those?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jerry Lewis. I mean, could you have a, you know, a bigger movie career than Jerry Lewis?
No.
Producing all his own films.
A lot of our listeners may not understand, if they are not followers of Dean Martin or Jerry Lewis, is that before the two of them were forced to work together at a nightclub in New Jersey, that neither of their careers was going anywhere.
Right. Very
true. That's something. Until they joined together in that nightclub, that career, those careers never would have been.
That's kind of like Carl and like me. Like, I mean, Carl had nothing. He had no career. Yeah. And then we got together, and look what I've boosted his whole world.
And that's why I'm eternally grateful.
You're internally grateful.
I'm internally and eternally.
Right along with Schauber.
Let's stay external, Carl.
I'm internally and eternally grateful.
I'm going to go with externally and eternally.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Roger. And that's
very true, Roger.
Yeah. I appreciate that and for letting our listeners know that, because it's very true. They really, if it wasn't for the fact, it was sort of like stars aligning. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that
it was very strange.
Kind of thrown
Lewis
together.
This kind of manic type of nightclub show that really wasn't bringing the people in because he was just too crazy and he was by himself. And even though he came from an entertainment family, and then Dean Martin, who had a boxing career not so great before it and was trying to get started as a singer and really wasn't bringing in the people into the nightclub, suddenly there was a second act, if I'm remembering the biography correctly, there was a second act that didn't show up or something, and then they said, hey, why don't you have Jerry Lewis, this kid, come in and work with you?
Yeah.
And that first night it stunned people in the audience. They had no idea what happened.
Yeah.
And they got along beautifully.
And I believe the first time they acted together, Jerry pretended he was a busboy, and he had all kinds of pots and pans and things, and he's falling all over the place, and Dean, and then it was magic.
Yeah.
Literally magic, and it was all ad-libbed. Mm-hmm. And you can hear it here. There's some ad-libbing still here. Even though Norman Lear was the writer on this show, they would go off script.
Well,
and a lot of times
it was unintended that they went off script. It just they cracked each other up.
Yeah,
it was
they
just
really
hilarious.
You know, these two men really did love each other. I'm not sure why there was that breakup. I know that one time Look magazine, and this had a little bit to do with it. Look magazine did a cover story and cropped Dean out.
Yeah.
Of the cover story. It just, you know, it was a story about them, and the only person on, you know, they took both their pictures, and the only person on the cover of Look magazine was Jerry. And I know that caused, of course, that wasn't Jerry's fault.
No.
I think that started causing, you know, a little bit of jealousy here and there. But there's really no definitive reason that anyone, I mean, I'm sure the two of them took it to their graves.
Yeah.
But why they broke up. But you know what? We get to hear them on this radio show. Let's go back and listen to the conclusion now of the Martin and Lewis show.
Some of our loveliest songs have been inspired by the lush romantic atmosphere of the Hawaiian Islands. I'd like to sing a new one for you. It's my latest recording. So, Mr. Stabile, Blue Smoke.
Into the deep blue sky, and when I think of home, I sadly sigh. Oh, I can see you there with love and tears in your eyes as we fondly say our last goodbye. And as I sail away with a longing to stay, I promise I'd be true and love only you. into the deep blue sky. My memories of home will never die. Drifting by into the deep blue sky, my memories of home will never
gentlemen, we've had the great fortune of presenting some wonderful guests on our show, but tonight, Jerry and I take great pride in presenting a young lady who we feel sure is to be nominated for the Academy Award for her magnificent performance in The Place in the Sun. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the glamorous Miss Shelley Winters.
Well, hi, Shelley.
Hello, Dean. I'm really very happy to be here.
Hey, Dean, have you seen my...
Well, jumping Jupiter, who's that chick?
Oh, Jerry, cut that out. Say hello to Shelley Winters there, Jerry.
You mean Shelley Summers?
No, he means Shelley Winters.
Don't kid me, lady. We don't allow no winters in California. Ah!
Dean, tell me, how'd this broomstick get in here without a witch?
Listen, lady, I don't have to stand here and have you tolerate me.
Jerry, before you make a complete fool of yourself, this lady happens to be Shelley Winters, the movie star.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Hey, I saw you in that picture Behave Yourself with Farfel Granger.
You mean Farley Granger.
No, you mean Farley Granger.
Look, Jerry, I've had enough of this. I'm here as your guest. All I want from you is respect, consideration, and a little common courtesy.
No money.
Shelley, I'll have to apologize for my partner. He's been like this ever since he was born.
Born? You mean he's human?
Sure I'm human. What's so different about me? When you hit me, I cry. When you pinch me, I scream. When you cut me, I bleed. When you tickle me, I laugh. Ha, ha, ha.
I was right the first time. He wasn't born. He was accumulated.
Come on, let's stop all this arguing here.
Good idea. All kidding on the other side, Shelley. I saw you in A Place in the Sun, and you were peachy.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it, Jerry.
Boy, I wish I could play in a picture like that.
Well, why don't we try our own version now?
Oh, we can't do that. A Place in the Sun was all about two girls and a boy.
So we'll do it with two boys and a girl. This is a crime.
Well, good idea. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have not seen that thrilling motion picture, A Place in the Sun, our thoughtful stars have prepared their own version of this very stirring drama. Here are Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Shelley Winters in... A Spot in the Shade. This is the story of the Eternal Triangle. The story of Georgia, who loves Angelo and hates Albert. The story of Angelo, who loves Georgia and hates Albert. And the story of Albert, the most popular boy in town. As our scene opens, we find Georgia and Angelo down by the lake. They are confused, mixed up, are plunging.
Angelo, what are we going to do about Albert?
There's only one thing to do. Tell him the truth about us.
I can't do it. How can I face him?
I've often wondered.
I can't stand this sneaking and hiding. I just hate to deceive him this way.
There's no other way. We must do the honorable thing.
Yeah, we'll drown him.
Shh, he's coming.
Hi, Georgia. Look what I brought.
Hey, what are you doing with my finance?
Why, Albert, I believe you're jealous.
Me? Jealous? Ha-ha! Just because I come to a secluded nook and find my girl on the lap of a strange man, you think I'm jealous? Oh, I'm not well at all.
Don't feel that way, Albert. You know I love you.
You shouldn't strain yourself, lady.
You really love me? Then kiss me, you fool, you. Hey, what about me? Oh, no, I don't even know you.
Albert, I want you and Angelo to be great friends.
Sure, Albert, we'll be real buddies. By the way, can you swim?
Can I swim? Why, you're talking to a man who used to be the lifeguard of the bird bath. Can I swim? Just ask Esther Williams. Call up Johnny Weissmuller. Talk to Buster Crabb. He wants to know if I can swim.
Can you?
Well, no.
Can't swim at all, eh?
Not a stroke. In fact, last week I almost drowned in my kitchen.
Really? How'd it happen?
I fell on a wet mop.
Can't swim at all. Well, why don't we all go out in the rowboat?
I have a premonition, but I'm too good-natured to refuse.
Angelo, you row, and Albert can sit here next to me. There now, is everybody comfortable?
Oh, gee.
What's the matter with you?
I'm getting seasick. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Georgia, let's get him overboard.
Okay. Albert, why don't you sit on the edge and let your feet dangle in the water?
Goody, goody. I'll take off my shoes and socks. Don't you peek.
Hey, look, he has 13 toes.
So what? I'm not superstitious.
Come on, Angelo. He's all set. Rock the boat.
Okay. Here goes.
Oh, please, don't rock the boat.
We got him now.
Oh, no, the whole stomach is turning. Don't rock the boat. Oh, no, you can row to the middle and as far as you want to go, but don't rock it. Around. Go over the ways if you want, but don't rock it. But please do anything, but don't rock it.
Angelo, Angelo, stop it.
Why?
We'll find another way to kill him, anything, but don't rock it.
We rocked too far. The boat's filling up. We're sinking.
Oh, what'll we do?
What'll we do? We got a man a mizzenmast. Hoist the mainsail. Clear the poop deck. And row, row, row.
We gotta row, row, row.
Before we drown, we'd better row, row, row.
The water's rising. We must row and keep alert.
There's no time to flirt.
Don't mind if I drown, but I don't want to shrink my shirt.
I think we're sinking. It's too late.
Oh, 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 oh.
If we sink, we are sunk.
Like a donut, I'll dunk. We better row,
row, row.
Well, it was a rainy afternoon in New York some years ago, and I stopped into one of those Times Square cigar stores to make a phone call. The wall in the phone booth was one of those plate glass affairs, and I stood there just one warm inch from the crowded sidewalk and the pattering rain. My number was busy, and as I waited, searching faces in the throng, my heart suddenly turned somersaults. I had never seen anything as pert and cute as the little chick who paused near me to fix her broken umbrella. She must have sensed I was staring because I caught her eye. We smiled through the glass wall. She saw my lips moving, and I guess she thought I was talking on a telephone. It was just a fleeting minute, and we never met again. So she never learned that I was really singing, singing to her.
If I could be with you, I'd love you strong. If I could be with you, I'd love you long. I want you to know that I wouldn't go
until I told you, honey, why I love you so. If I could be with you 1 hour tonight, if I were free to do the things I might, I'm telling you true, I'd be anything but blue if I could be with you. I could be with you 1 hour tonight, if I were free to do the things I might, I'm telling you true, I'd be anything but blue if I could be.
Dean, that was real pretty.
Oh, thank you, Germ.
That's one of my favorite songs. If I could be with you a half hour tonight.
Jerry, not a half hour, an hour.
Dean, you know how busy I am.
Well, boys, I guess it's time for me to say goodnight.
Good night, Shelley. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis reminding you that we appear on radio through the courtesy of Hal Wallace Productions, producers of our current release, That's My Boy, and our newest picture, Sailor Beware. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
From Hollywood, you have just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show with their special guest, Miss Shelley Winters, who can currently be seen in the Universal International production, The Raging Tide, co-starring with Richard Conte and Stephen McNally. Our radio show tonight was written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music under the direction of Dick Stabile. Brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headaches, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, and Chiclets, the candy-coated gum with a flavor that won't chew out.
Hear Duffy's Tavern with Archie on NBC.
That's the Martin and Lewis Show, November 16th, 1951. Their special guest, Shelley Winters, written by Norman Lear. He did a lot of writing for radio, Lisa, before he moved into television, started writing for All in the Family and all his other programs he did. Great show. It's heard on NBC. Lots of sponsors on there. Chesterfield, which we removed the Chesterfield commercials, but Anacin, Dentine, and I think they even said Chiclets or something like
Chiclets,
that, right? Chiclets. Yeah. I didn't realize Chiclets were around in 1951.
No.
It said something like the gum with candy, a candy coating. It won't chew out.
Did they even have gum back then? No, I'm just kidding.
Dentine was one of the sponsors
here. No, I'm just kidding.
Back then.
They've always
had gum. Wasn't that long ago, 1951?
No, it wasn't.
No. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Do you love classic radio shows? Hi, this is Carl Amari. I'm the curator of the Classic Radio Club at ClassicRadioClub.com. I have over 100,000 classic radio shows, and now you can receive the best of the best from my collection each and every month. Join the Classic Radio Club at ClassicRadioClub.com and receive 10 shows on 5 CDs for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling. Then each month, I'll send you 10 more shows on 5 CDs for only $14.99. $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can choose the digital option and pay $4.99 the first month and only $9.99 each month thereafter, and never pay shipping and handling. Each classic radio show will be superior sound quality, and you'll never get a duplicate show. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can cancel at any time with no further obligation. Start receiving the greatest classic radio shows of all time for less than $10 a month if you choose the digital option. Log on to ClassicRadioClub.com. I have over 100,000 classic radio shows, Lisa, because we license these programs and we pay royalties for the use of these shows. And I wanted to share the greatest radio shows of all time with our listeners through a club. So we created the Classic Radio Club. And now you can join the Classic Radio Club for only $1 for the first month. And you can cancel at any time. You can get 10 classic radio shows for only $1. Just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. Check it out. Now, it's that dollar promotion is for the first month. And then if you decide you want to continue, then please do. If not, you can cancel at any time. ClassicRadioClub.com. We also have a wonderful promotion going on right now with Woodman's. Woodman's is a tremendous grocery chain. And if you shop at Woodman's, all you have to do is take a photo of your receipt and email it to us here at woodmanswgn@gmail.com. Right, Lisa?
Right. We went to Woodman's and checked it out and did a little shopping. And I know they're open 24/7.
I know.
So even our crazy schedule allows us to shop at Woodman's.
Right. When you do send your receipt in to us, we will, within about a 24-hour period, probably less, we will then email you 12 classic radio shows via digital download. It's our way of saying thank you for shopping at Woodman's. Just go to Woodman's, shop, then take a photo of your receipt, email it to woodmanswgn@gmail.com, and you will receive 12 classic radio shows. And we switch it up every month. So now we're into February, right? This is February.
It is February.
It's February. Well, now it's February 3rd.
You know, because it's almost Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Is that a big holiday for you, Carl?
I...
You know, the romantic side of you comes out.
Maybe my MyPillow glass will be broke this...
In February. Well, that would only be like a week and a half.
I can do it.
Can you?
Yeah.
Is it a challenge?
Let's see if I can break that glass.
The challenge is on.
Before Valentine's Day.
So what does that mean that you...
Means I would break the glass, and I'll call you at 3 in the morning, whatever time it is. I'll wake you up and tell
good.
You I was able to break the glass on my
MyPillow. I can't wait to hear from you.
Glass. Yeah. What if I called you at 3 o'clock in the morning? Would you answer?
I wouldn't even hear it because I turn my phone off when I go to sleep.
I'll call Roger then.
That sounds like a good
plan. I got to tell somebody.
Yeah.
I would have to tell somebody about it. Ashley, could I call you?
I think it should be a boy thing. You should give Curtis a call and have a little boy talk.
Yeah, I'll call Curtis or I'll call Curtis.
Curtis.
And call Curtis.
Chris.
Curtis.
Curtis is like, no.
All right, in our next hour, Philo Vance Detective starring Jackson Beck. You don't want to miss that, a show from 1950. But right now, it's time for WGN News. Here are the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 101. Time for the news. Here's Roger Battish. Yo. Lisa Wolf, it's hour 3 and you haven't fallen asleep yet.
Nope, and I will not until I get home. Thank you, though.
She had some tea.
For your confidence in me. I did not have any tea.
I thought you had tea.
I did not have tea.
What did you have?
I had hot chocolate.
Oh, hot chocolate. I thought it was tea. So you're kind of wide awake over here.
I know.
I'm a little shocked, actually.
I know. That's what happens here at WGN.
I'm glad to see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
When am I not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at WGN?
You yawn a lot.
I do yawn.
Yeah, she yawns a lot.
I do yawn. And
a yawn is contagious, and then I start yawning, and then you yawn. And
I have a lot of other things that are contagious, too.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, well, welcome to our third hour out there in Radio Land. We have a Philo Vance detective episode for you starring Jackson Beck. You will recognize his voice. He was the announcer on The Adventures of Superman. You'll recognize Jackson Beck. He plays Detective Philo Vance. But before all of that, we're going to play our game, right?
Cat's Pride. Yeah. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes.
And the celebrity is Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the prize will be a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Okay. So good old Mary Poppins herself, right?
Well, the original.
Yeah, the original.
not the current one.
No. Yeah. She's good too. The current lady, Emily Blunt, isn't that who it is? Emily Blunt, she's great.
Yep, that's
her. She's a great actress. Okay, so what caller would you like?
Caller number 6.
Call now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Win some Twilight Zone radio drama CDs. Call now, be caller 6. Play the game live on the air. We'll be right back. Come on, baby, let's get ridiculous.
We have Jim on the phone to get ridiculous with us. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. Glad you made it through. We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with Carl, okay? And Carl's an excellent player, so if you need a lifeline, he is your man. Okay. All right, number one, this is Julie Andrews, by the way. Number one, she has a rose named after her. Is that real or ridiculous?
Real.
Real. Carl?
Okay, I'll agree.
It is real. The All Julie right. Andrews rose is an orange-pink shade. So, Carl, if you want to break that glass, you may want to consider sending Julie Andrew roses.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So that could be helpful.
All right.
Number two, Julie Andrews hosted the opening day of Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Carl?
Huh. I'm going to say real.
It is real. She did host the opening day in 1971 in Orlando.
This is for you, Jim. Sorry about that, Jim. All right.
Nice. Number three, Carol Burnett is the godmother of Julie Andrews' daughter. Is that real or ridiculous?
Wow. Real.
Real?
Lisa's sneaky. I'm going to say real also. I'm going to go with Jim.
Jim, you are right. It is real.
All right.
Isn't that crazy? I think Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews are best friends, so that's how that came about.
Awesome.
You are a winner, Jim. You have won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It is hosted by Stacey Keach, and it is wonderful. I love the Twilight Zones. I used to enjoy watching
the TV. That's because you are in the Twilight Zone.
Well, that's true. I used to watch the television shows religiously, and I do appreciate listening to the audio CDs, so hope you enjoy them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
sure, thank
Jim.
You for playing.
All right, Jim got 2 out of 3 right. Guess what, Lisa?
You did a good job on that
3
one.
3 out of 3 right.
Which is unheard of for
I know, I can't even believe it
It's
myself.
Luck.
I, you know what? I should just quit now.
Well, we've got 2 more to look forward to tonight.
That's true. All right, well, right now it's time for Philo Vance Detective. This was a series created by S.S. Van Dyne. Philo Vance was a very popular detective character, Lisa. Was in books, movies, radio. I'm not sure if there was ever a television series, but definitely books and movies and radio. He was a stylish, highly intelligent, cultured private investigator. He was sort of an Americanized Sherlock Holmes, right? And he would solve cases too tough for police. He worked out of New York. Now, the movies starred William Powell, Warren William, and Basil Rathbone, or do you say Basil Rathbone? It's either Basil or Basil.
It's definitely one of those.
It's one of the two.
What do you think it is?
I think it's Basil. I think it's like how the herb,
like the
herb, Basil, I think. But it could be Basil. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up and let you know.
All right. On radio, Jose Ferrer and Jackson Beck played Philo Vance, and his secretary, Ellen Deering, was played by Joan Alexander. We have a Jackson Beck episode for you. Remember I told you the story when I met Jackson Beck many, many years ago, And I said, Mr. Beck, could I interview you? I had a DAT machine. And he said, sure, you know, whatever. And then he said, I want to show you something. And he opened his wallet and he took out his AFTRA card. It wasn't it wasn't an AFRA.
Right.
It was AFTRA. It was didn't have the television as part of it.
It was AFRA, not AFTRA, you mean.
It was AFTRA.
AFTRA has the television.
That's what I meant, yes. It was an AFRA card.
Right.
And he was number two. He was the second person that joined.
That's crazy.
AFRA. Yeah. And I was like, he was very proud of that. He was like, look at my number here, number two. All right, you're going to listen to a Philo Vance episode now from April 4th, 1950. This is called The Mimic Murder Case, part one of Philo Vance.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now it's off to the alley. How's that, Mr. Payne?
Mm-hmm. Anybody can do that. Let's hear something else.
Well, look, Mr. Payne, I can imitate anybody. Anybody at all. You just say who you want, I can imitate him. I've been doing this kind of thing in nightclubs for years.
Mm-hmm. How about that meek little fellow? What's his name?
Oh, you mean the fellow who talks something like this? Look, mister, all I ask for is just a little peace and quiet. It's not the big noises that bother me. It's just the little trivial annoying noises like the birds and the bees.
How's that? Danny, I want you to listen to something I have here on a record.
Sure, Mr. Payne, if you want me to.
Some guy I know made a speech on the radio tonight. I recorded it.
Okay, let's hear it.
I want to play part of it back to you. Now listen.
Only this. As a private investigator, I have encountered many crimes and many criminals. My friend, Mr. Markham, the district attorney, has asked me to discuss several of both with you. First of all, I am certain that the most difficult of all...
You heard that voice, Denny?
Sure, sure.
Can you talk like that guy there?
Look, just give me the record and a couple of hours' practice, and I'll be able to do him so good even his mother wouldn't know it wasn't him talking.
How much do you make in that nightclub, Denny?
For me?
You don't see anyone else here, do you?
Well, I'm good for $250 right now. $300 sometimes.
Tell you what I'll do.
What's that?
I'll give you $1,000 to talk like that guy on the record.
A grand? Just open my mouth?
No, not exactly. You'll have to keep it closed about this for the rest of your life.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Vance. Or should I call you Stephen Douglas or Daniel Webster or Cicero?
Well, that's a nice way to start off a day. What have I in common with them?
Don't tell me you didn't hear that speech you made at the dinner last night. You were great.
Oh, really?
My friend, Mr. Markham, the district attorney, has asked me to discuss crimes and criminals. The most difficult crime, in my opinion, is the simple crime, because in its lack of incidentals...
All right, Alan. I made a speech last night.
Sounded to me like it lasted 3 weeks.
Oh, please.
Actually, it wasn't bad, though.
Well, that's nice to know. Anything in the mail? Any calls?
No, nothing interesting, except that Mr. Markham called and said he'd drop in here on his way to court. He's got a big case going to trial today.
Yes, I know. The State versus Albert Payne.
That's the one.
It's going to be quite a contest. Markham tells me he hasn't too much evidence.
The wonder to me is why you don't get him what he needs.
Oh.
Nice tie, Vance.
Oh, well, like it?
Only thing I'd like better around your neck would be me.
Mm.
Or am I too forward?
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly, but you're in absolutely no danger of bumping into that desk behind you.
Thank you, John Calhoun.
Oh.
Good morning, both of you.
Hi.
Well, hello, Markham. Come in.
Just dropped in so you could wish me luck in the case today, Vance.
Well, glad you did. I hope you don't have too much difficulty getting a conviction against Payne.
Oh, you're a cinch.
Hey, too bad you two aren't on the jury.
Well, for $50, I could be tempted.
Ellen.
All right, but I'll tell you now, I'd be one of the best jurors money could buy.
Ellen, if you...
Cease, I know.
You know, a good secretary always anticipates the wishes of her employer.
No doubt.
Wish I could be in court today, Markham, but I'll show up tomorrow. You ought to be under a full head of steam by then.
I certainly hope so. As I understand it, Payne has created quite a defense for himself while he's been out on bail, but we'll worry about that when we come to it.
That's the good attitude.
Say, I don't think you know the sequel to the Ivory murder case, do you?
Well, the one we worked on last week.
Yes.
Is there a sequel?
Well, not exactly a sequel, but that African native was deported this morning.
Oh?
I certainly was going to make a beautiful mistake in that case if you hadn't interfered, Vance.
You'd have found the real murderer eventually, Mark.
Perhaps, but when you told me I was on the wrong track, I stopped my activities immediately. Only believe me, I didn't know any reason other than your request.
It all turned out well, didn't it?
It most certainly did.
Well, then.
And I guess I'd better get going to court. Thanks for everything, Vance. Keep your fingers crossed, and I'll get a conviction against Albert Payne before the week is over.
I will, Markham. I'm sure you'll see to it that the pain is removed from the public.
Steve, look out.
Hey, who you pushing? I'll knock your brains out. Who you pushing?
Hold it, Steve. Holy mackerel, what you almost did.
What did I almost do?
You almost walked under that there ladder.
Well, so what?
So what?
Yeah.
Stevie, that's the worst thing you could do. Good thing Mr. Payne didn't know there was a ladder on the way. He never would have sent us. Never.
Hey, the boss ain't superstitious, dope. He sent us to grab a guy. He wouldn't care if we had to walk under a black cat. He wants that guy grabbed, and we're the guys that can do it.
Except if he's wearing a black hat. You know you can't never grab a guy wearing a black hat. It's unlucky.
If we take any more time getting to that guy we're after, it'll be unhealthy for us. You got your gun?
Yeah, sure.
All right, now keep it handy. Might have to bang this guy on the beak with it in case he wants to argue. Hey, you know where to find this character, don't you?
Sure, I got his address, the Harris Apartments. And his name is written right here. Philo Vance.
Stop right here, driver. Mr. Vance lives here.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think it was very nice of me to take you home, don't you, Vance?
It was charming, romantic, and on the way to your apartment. But thanks, Ellen. I'll phone you as soon as I get cleaned up.
I'll be waiting.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, you... What? You ain't going anywhere except with us.
What?
You're Philo Vance, ain't you?
Yes, but I don't know you.
You don't have to know nothing except this is a gun that's shoving you around. We got a car, Vance, and you're coming with us.
Sorry, I have a previous engagement.
Stevie. Let the guy alone. He's poison. I just saw a star fall down. That's bad luck, Steve.
You think that's bad luck? What's your opinion of this?
We can take him, Jerry. He's only one guy. Yeah, but he fights like he was nine. Clip him with a gun of yours like I told
Sorry,
him.
Sorry, but I don't like mine.
Ooh, what a joker that character was. What a battle he put up, huh? Right, Jerry?
Yeah, sure, Stevie. Ooh. Well, come on, let's drag him to the car. Mr. Payne is sure going to be proud of us, huh?
Right. Hey, you know, I just thought of something.
What?
That fallen star you saw. Maybe it is a sign of bad luck. Sure was unlucky for Vance.
Order in this court. Proceed with your examination of the defendant, Mr. District Attorney.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Payne, are you or were you the head of the Acme Development Corporation?
No, I am not, and I never was.
The state will prove that the Acme Development Corporation was a dummy organization set up to swindle the public.
Mm-hmm.
We will also prove that although your name did not appear in the corporation papers, you were the actual head of the Acme Company.
Objection, Your Honor. Sustained.
I'll rephrase that statement. The state will prove...
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Markham.
Your Honor, please, may I have a moment to talk to this court attendant?
Granted.
Thank you. What is it, Joe?
A telephone call for you, Mr. Markham. Yes. Philo Vance says to tell you that it's important.
Oh?
Something to do with the trial now going on. He says it's urgent that you talk to him right away.
Thank you, Joe. Your Honor, please.
Mr. District Attorney.
Your Honor, please, with the court grant a 5-minute recess, it's quite important.
Order in the court. The court sees no objection. Step down from the witness stand, Mr. Payne, please. 5 minutes recess.
Thank you, Your Honor. Which telephone, Joe?
Oh, just follow me, Mr. Markham. This
way.
Yes, Vance sure sounded like he had something awfully important. After the trial was going on, I said yes. He said to get you to the phone, so I got you.
Thanks again. I tried to reach Vance this morning at his office, but he hadn't shown up. His secretary told me he was supposed to call her last night, and he didn't. Oh. Vance must have been doing some work on this case.
I wouldn't know about that. There's the phone, though. First book.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Markham, I'm sorry I had to get you out of that courtroom, but it was imperative that I did.
Well, what's wrong, Vance? Where have you been?
I'll explain that when I see you. All I can tell you is that you have the wrong man on trial. Payne is innocent.
What?
It's definite, Markham, and I can prove it. And what's more, so can he. I think we can get him on a more serious charge, though.
Wait a minute.
What I want you to do is ask for a dismissal of the charge against him.
But I can't do that, Vance. If I do, he can't be tried again. For this crime, anyhow, regardless of what evidence you have.
I know that, my friend, but please do as I say.
I've never let you down, have I?
No, but this is...
Please, Markham. It's for your good. Payne has evidence that can disprove everything you claim. Withdraw the charge against him. I'll explain everything when I see you.
You always say that, and you always do, but...
I won't let you down, Markham. Will you do as I say?
Yes. Yes, I'll do it, Vance. But if you don't do as you say, I can take my career and send it right back to law school where it started.
Thank you very much. And maybe you can recognize this movie character who says,
"There I was, standing on a corner, minding my own business."
Nice party, Mr. Payne.
Could be nicer.
But a guy up to me.
After all, this is a celebration because the DA was nice to me.
Is that your
he dropped
nose?
The charges.
Yeah, you made sure he would. Oh, you're smart, boss.
That kid doing the impersonations out on the floor helped.
Yeah, how do you mean?
Skip it. The only thing that...
Mr. Payne.
Hey, Jerry, where'd you get that eye?
Mr. Chin. Murder.
Mr. Payne, that guy I had tied up, that Vance guy.
What about him?
I was taking him out in the car to knock him off, like you said. His hands was tied, but I let him smoke a cigarette, and I guess he burned the ropes or something. Next thing I knew, he jumped me and knocked me cold and beat me. Stevie, I told you that fallen star, remember? I told you it
Shut
was
up.
Unlucky.
Vance got away, huh?
Yes, sir.
Jerry, I'll take care of you later.
Wait a minute. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming, but the party's over. I had a big day, and I've got to get to sleep.
Well, Mr. Payne, thanks for everything. I guess I'll be going now.
Wait a minute, Danny.
Huh?
You did a good job on those impersonations. I want to thank you.
Oh, gee, you did fine with the dough, Mr. Payne.
Not at all.
Everybody's gone now, boss. The joint's cleaned out. Right, Steve?
Sure is.
All right, you two, grab this Danny guy.
Hey, hey, what's the idea? I didn't do nothing. What do you want with me?
I'm sorry, Danny, but with Vance alive, I can't let you be.
Vance? Who's he?
He's the one man who'll know you impersonated his voice.
Yeah, but...
He'll get you to talk.
No,
I can't let that happen.
Wait a minute, Mr. Payne. Wait a minute.
Holy mackerel, Stevie. The boss is going to use a knife on this guy.
Shut up.
Just keep holding him.
Mr. Payne, you got to believe it. I did.
Let him drop, boys.
You know something, Jerry?
What?
This guy was a great impersonator even when he kicked off. He died just like Jimmy Cagney.
All the bad guys talk the same way.
He had that bad guy voice.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what? He even kicked off.
You're pretty good at the bad guy stuff.
Yeah, I can play the bad guys on these shows all the
time. Maybe you are the bad guy.
When next time Roger does one of these radio reenactments, I hope he casts me as the bad guy. Because if I'm the bad guy, I'm going to talk like this.
I don't think Roger would be casting you at all.
Oh, I'll give him a cast on. Full body. Yeah, a couple of cement shoes, you know.
I want to play the bad guy.
You play the bad guy
every day of your life.
I want to be the bad guy. All right, we'll get back to Philo Vance in just a few moments. All right, when we come back from the news, we're going to do the rest of this Philo Vance episode. But right now, it's Roger Badish and the WGN News.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Tonight, when we come back here, Lisa, we have more classic radio shows, right?
Yes, we do. We
what
have
we
the Bing Crosby show in the first hour, and then we have The Whistler.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
The Whistler.
Here we go. I was waiting.
Something like that.
Yeah, keep your day job.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But you like The Whistler, Roger?
I told you that was one of the shows that we did, and I was not only the bad guy.
You were the bad guy.
I was the bad
like
guy.
This.
But I did the whistle several times during
what?
The show. Yes,
you did?
Sir.
Did you have a scale that you were looking at when you were doing it, or you had to memorize it?
I knew it.
You can do it?
I can do it. It's been a while.
Well, clearly you cannot, Carl.
My ears are hurting.
It's pretty good, right?
That
not
was
bad.
Very
close
good.
By the way, you know who did the whistling in the original show?
It was a lady by the name of Dorothy something.
She was the only one who could hit those notes exactly.
Except for me.
Something hit you.
A rim shot hit me. All right, well, the Bing Crosby Show, that's going to be great. And then The Whistler, that's tonight when we come back here at 11:05. We'll be on the air till 1 o'clock in the morning. And don't forget, we have a podcast of this show, too. You know, we're on late, and we understand if you nod off. We understand, because Lisa does it all the time, and she's
I'm
on the air here
right now.
So if you miss any part of our show, we have a podcast. And
how do you get to that, Carl?
I'll tell you how I do it. I mean, other people do it different ways.
I bet they do.
I go to Google, and I just type in WGN Radio Theater Podcast, and then a whole bunch of things come up, and I click one of them, and then I find the newest show, and I listen to it.
You can also go to WGNRadio.com, and you can go to shows and choose WGN Radio Theater and all of our podcasts. Well, not since the beginning of time, but for quite
there's
a while
missing.
Back.
No, I think they're all
some,
there.
Some of them are not show one. Show one is not there.
Oh, good.
There.
We don't want show one up there anyway. It
but
was terrible. I was good on it, but.
Yeah, you were something
but
else.
But other people weren't. Ashley Carl wrote a script out for us to read. I was so brutal on that first show.
He wrote a script and he said he told me before the show
I was so nervous.
He says,
"Here's the thing. I was so nervous when Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez they offered me and Lisa the show. Okay, I was like." It was like a dream come true. I've always wanted to be on WGN because I used to be on the air here with Eddie Schwartz a lot. I was like a regular guest with Eddie Schwartz. And I know the power of WGN and how far the signal reaches. It was always a dream. Now I get the dream comes true, right? I was so nervous that I wrote a script.
For both of us.
That is suicide.
Here, we could do the first line right now.
Don't ever write a script. You're on the air. Just do it, ad lib it,
and
have fun.
And how did it start?
Hi, this is Carl Amari.
And I'm Lisa Wolf.
And this is the WGN Radio Theater.
And that's exactly what you would hear on episode one.
WGN Radio Theater. It's brutal.
It's kind of like an SNL hokey skit, you know?
Yeah, it was like...
So hopefully like, we've grown a bit since then.
It was like the sweaty.
Right?
No. Anyway,
Carl
it was sort of like
no.
that. It was well, sort of like... It was
okay,
sort of like amateur college radio.
Well, we've grown since then.
That's how nervous I was. I was actually sweating. I was so nervous.
Well, sure, you were sweaty.
I was sweaty. you know, in life, dreams do come true. You pray about it and you work hard.
We had been talking about moving to WGN for years, actually, prior to the big move. So we didn't just pray. We made it happen. That's how it works. Well, doesn't just come knocking down your door. We made it happen.
I had to pray about it, believe me.
Well, and more.
Because prayer is powerful.
Yes, but
very
in
powerful.
My book, you have to do more than sit around and pray. You have to actually make it happen.
Well, sure, of course.
So it's a combination of efforts.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just feel so blessed every single day that I get to come here and do this radio show because it's the highlight of my week. I love playing these classic radio shows on a forum like WGN. You know, this signal just reaches all over the country, and people are able to hear it all over the place.
And of course, with the podcast, you can go to a computer and you can hear it from anywhere. We have a listener who texted in from Italy and called in and listened to
the
show. There's people from Guam.
All over
Where's
the place,
Guam,
listen.
Carl?
Far away.
That's
somewhere.
That's right. Far away.
Way
somewhere.
Far. Like if I got on a plane, it would take a long time to get there. My arms would be so
tired.
Well,
don't take Hawaiian Airlines, or you have to take off three times and then go home.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to listen to the conclusion now of this episode called "The Mimic Murder Case," starring Jackson Beck on Philo Vance Detective.
This is District Attorney Markham. The case I started to work on is over. Over because I withdrew charges against Albert Payne, a man I believe was guilty. I did so at the request of Philo Vance, a request made to me on the telephone while the trial was in progress. My concern is very great because I haven't been able to reach Vance since he phoned me in the courtroom. For this reason, I'm working late in my office, hoping that I'll hear something. But... District Attorney Markham speaking.
This is Ellen, Mr. Markham. Any word from Vance?
No, Ellen, not since he called me at the courtroom. You've heard nothing?
No, not a word, and I'm awfully worried. He never showed up at the office today.
At least we know he was all right about 2 p.m. when he telephoned me. That's something.
Are you sure it was Vance?
Well, I'm reasonably sure. I was sure at the time, but in view of what's been happening, right now I'm not so certain.
Sherry, are you shoving?
Sure I'm shoving. What do you think I'm doing? I'm shoving. Only it ain't easy to push this jalopy up a hill. You know?
Just be happy you ain't in it when it goes over that cliff.
Uh-huh. See how happy I am? All right. There we are. That ought to do it, Steve.
Yeah. Ooh. Anybody ever finds a wreck of this jalopy down there, they can also get a good look at what was once a pretty good mimic. Danny Duncan.
Now, Steve...
look, I wonder how he liked being pushed up this hill.
Now, look, stop talking like that about a dead guy. Steve, that's unlucky.
You and you're unlucky. Everything's unlucky.
All right.
All right, come on, let's get this heap over the cliff now. All ready?
Yeah, sure. Here we go.
Push.
There she goes!
Well, Jerry... like they say in the books. That's that.
Yes. Yes, I have the details. A crash was heard, investigated, and you found a battered jalopy at the bottom of the cliff. In it was a man who'd been knifed to death. It was Danny Duncan, a nightclub entertainer.
That's it, D.A. We'll call you back if there's anything else.
I'll do that. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Markham.
Vance, am I glad to see you. Where have you been? What's happened?
I've been knocked out, dragged out, and taken for a ride, Markham. And I'm here now.
Yes, sit down, Vance, sit down.
And very anxious to get to the bottom of all this.
What was that call you made to me at the courtroom this afternoon?
Call I made?
Certainly. You telephoned me to ask for a dismissal of charges against Albert Payne, and I did.
Markham, I never called you.
What?
No.
Now, don't tell me that. I recognize your voice. Vance, listen to me. You definitely...
I definitely what?
I know what's happened now. I just got a report of the murder of a nightclub entertainer, Danny Duncan.
A very well-known mimic.
Yes. That's it, then. It was Duncan who called me and pretended to be you. You were kidnapped to prevent your coming on the scene and spoiling Payne's plan to have me drop the case against him.
Well, it certainly looks like we've been outsmarted, doesn't it?
I could have sworn that was you on the telephone. And you've done similar things before, Vance. Called me and asked me to lay off something until you could give me conclusive evidence.
I know. And apparently Payne knew that, too. But in order for his plan to be foolproof, Markham, he had to kill Danny Duncan. Well, the next time he goes to trial, I personally guarantee it will be for murder.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
Look around quick. Is anybody following us?
Are you kidding? Of course not. Who'd be following us?
I don't know. I looked around a couple of times, only I didn't see nobody. But I kind of feel like there's somebody following.
Stop being stupid.
Well, I'm not being stupid. Now, wait a minute. Wait, just stop a minute. Now, listen. Hey, you hear that?
Did you hear that, Steve?
So it's somebody else on the street.
Yeah, but there ain't nobody on the street. Nobody but us.
Maybe it's that Danny Duncan come back. Steve!
Now get your hands off it. What's the matter with you? Nobody's there. Are you getting yellow or something?
Yeah, but Steve...
Oh, come on,
Steve,
come
I'm
on.
Afraid. I'm awful afraid.
My dear Mr. Vance, everything you said to me may be true, but you should be the first to admit that it might also be pure conjecture.
I know, Payne. Perhaps you didn't hire the mimic Danny Duncan to imitate my voice after having a couple of your men kidnap me. Perhaps you didn't kill Danny Duncan so he could never tell what he knew.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps I would have beaten the case the state had against me, even without the phone call you insist I have Duncan make. Vance, don't you see how hopeless this is and how helpless you are to do anything about it?
I don't often lose my temper, Payne.
Really?
But I'm making an exception in this case. You listen to me.
Take your hands off my coat.
I'm finding it hard to keep them off your throat.
Why don't you
now
stop?
Now listen. You had a couple of mugs beat me up. I don't like that. I don't like you.
I said let go.
I'm glad you did that. I'm going to return it. It won't help this case, but it will give me some satisfaction.
Fight!
You don't think I have anything on you, do you, Payne? Come on, get up and talk.
That's right. I don't think you have a thing on me. I bet my life you don't.
Don't look now, Payne. But that's exactly what you're betting.
Steve. Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on in here, Jerry?
Steve, there's somebody in this house. I heard a window open a minute ago. I heard it, I tell you, Steve. It's Danny Duncan. Like I said, he's come back.
Will you shut up and go back to sleep?
I can't.
An hour ago, you heard footsteps. Danny Duncan is dead. You know that.
Sure, I know it. That's why he's come back, Steve. Because he's dead and we have killed him. We were holding him when Mr. Payne stabbed him.
Now, look, stupid. Danny Duncan is gone.
But, Steve...
Yeah, but I'm here. If you bother me again, I'm going to come in and work over you myself. Now go to sleep.
Steve, don't go. Stay here with me, Steve.
Jerry. Wake up, Jerry. Jerry, wake up.
Who is it? Who's in the room?
Don't scream, Jerry. Don't turn on that light. Don't do anything. Just listen to me.
Who are you? What do you want?
You know who I am.
Oh, no.
Never rest, Jerry. Never.
No.
Until you help me get revenge on the man who killed me.
Look, go away. Get out of here.
Keep your voice down, Jerry. You don't want Steve to hear.
You know about Steve?
I know about everything.
Please.
Jerry, I'll be with you the rest of your life unless you do as I say.
I'm scared. What do you want?
You know who killed me.
No,
go to the police and tell them.
No,
do
I
it,
don't...
Jerry, or you'll never sleep another night.
Please.
You asked me to keep my fingers crossed, Markham. Now it's your turn.
It's hard driving the car that way, but I'll do it.
You haven't any further to drive, my friend. This is Payne's house.
Oh.
Come on in with me.
Okay.
If I'm right about everything up to here, this case should be over soon.
Well, that's the best news I've had all day, except for one thing. Payne is an extortionist and steps into larceny very often. But I didn't have too much evidence against him, although he, of course, didn't know that. Anyhow, now I don't feel quite so badly.
Good. I feel partially responsible.
What? Inside the house, Vance. Those shots came from inside. Let's go.
Try the door, Markham.
It's open.
This way. They came from this door here.
Right.
Come in, gentlemen.
As long as I live, it wasn't very long, I guess.
What's going on here, Payne?
Pretty obvious, isn't it, Markham? This man broke in here with a gun. He's still holding it. Fired at me. I got my gun and shot him. What brings you here? And what's with your friend Vance?
I think this is it for you, Payne.
Mm-hmm. What makes you say that, Vance?
Jerry came here to tell you he was going to the police because he believed it was the only way he could keep Danny Duncan's spirit away from him.
Danny Duncan? Who's that?
No, Danny, I did what you said. I told Mr. Payne I was going to the police. I wanted to warn him.
Well, you really killed Jerry this time, didn't you, Payne? Couldn't
did I?
Let him finish what he was saying, could you?
You know my story, Vance. He broke in here. I shot him in self-defense.
It wasn't self-defense just now, Payne. You murdered him right in front of us. Your story won't stand up now.
You won't stand up very long either, Markham.
Oh, wait. You grabbed his arm and deflected the gun, Markham.
Hurry on, Vance. Get away from me. There. That's better. Now, both of you stay right where you are. Don't take a step.
Vance, don't.
Why not? I'm coming to get you, Payne.
Don't take another step, Vance. Don't do it. All right, I warned you.
It only holds six shots, you know, Payne. Now I'll take that.
Good boy.
Keep away, Markham. This is for me. Well, that does it. You'll find the third member of this trio, a fellow named Steve, at a house on Central Street.
Okay.
You have a real case against Payne now, Markham.
You'll never beat this one. That is, if you don't telephone me during his trial.
I'll never do that again, Markham. No more telephone calls. Anytime I ask you to do anything, it will be in person.
Thanks. Perhaps you'll tell me how this Jerry individual came to be here at Payne's house, and what's more important, how you knew this case would be broken here.
I'd tell you, but I don't dare. I promised Ellen she'd be the first to know.
All right.
You don't mind, do you?
No, not really. Say, you hit that Payne pretty hard. He's still out.
Yes, but he's breathing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when you get him to trial, you'll take care of that little detail, won't you, Markham?
The only thing I don't understand, Vance, is what made that Jerry character go after Payne.
I knew he would, Ellen. I knew he was superstitious. I found it out when he and Steve jumped me the night you dropped me off.
Oh.
And later, while we were in the car in which he was supposed to kill me.
So you worked on that superstition?
Definitely. It's a powerful motivation, Ellen. A superstitious individual will go to almost any lengths to remove what he considers a hex.
Yes, I know.
I followed him along streets, making sure he could hear me, but keeping out of sight. Opened a window in his house. Even sneaked a public address system into his bedroom to plant the idea that I was Danny Duncan's ghost.
Pretty good planting, I'd say, inasmuch as it sent him after Payne.
That's what I did it for. He got to Payne's to warn him he was going to the police before Markham and I had a chance to get there. Payne thought he had to kill him.
What I'd like to know is what made you such a brave man? How come you walked right up to Payne when he had a gun in his hand? A gun he had just used to kill Jerry.
I had heard 6 shots, Ellen. The gun was a revolver. That only holds 6 shots.
Well, you say you'd heard 6 shots. My friend, to use your favorite expression, didn't it ever occur to you that Jerry might have fired one or even 2 of those?
Certainly it did. Only Jerry carried an automatic and the safety catch was still on.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that when it was in his hand as he was lying on the floor. So I really wasn't so brave, was I?
Oh, all I can say is it's a good thing you can count, Vance. Otherwise, a bullet would have started right toward you.
Well, let's not be concerned with anything starting, Ellen. Let's just remember that this is the end of the Mimic murder case.
That's the end of the Mimic murder case, Lisa. That's from April 4th, 1950, starring Jackson Beck, a great episode of the Philo Vance series. That was on the air quite a few years. It was syndicated by Frederick W. Ziv. Frederick W. Ziv was the biggest radio syndicator of the Golden Age. Him and Harry Allen Towers, there was 2 guys. But Frederick W. Ziv, he syndicated Bold Venture, Boston Blackie, Philo Vance. There was a couple of other ones. Maybe Favorite Story was another one he did. Big-time syndicator. And this was a popular show on radio. Good Detective Adventure. Hope you enjoy that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Do you love classic radio shows? Hi, this is Carl Amari. I'm the curator of the Classic Radio Club at ClassicRadioClub.com. I have over 100,000 classic radio shows, and now you can receive the best of the best from my collection each and every month. Join the Classic Radio Club at ClassicRadioClub.com and receive 10 shows on 5 CDs for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling. Then each month, I'll send you 10 more shows on 5 CDs for only $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can choose the digital option and pay $4.99 the first month and only $9.99 each month thereafter and never pay shipping and handling. Each classic radio show will be superior sound quality and you'll never get a duplicate show. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can cancel at any time with no further obligation. Start receiving the greatest classic radio shows of all time for less than $10 a month if you choose the digital option. Log on to ClassicRadioClub.com.
And you can sign up for the first month for only $1 if you want the digital downloads, 10 classic radio shows, or $1 for the 5 CDs plus 10 shows, but you have to pay $4.99 shipping and handling. So go to ClassicRadioClub.com. When Lisa and I come back tonight...
See, that's where you get everybody on that shipping
right,
and handling.
One, yeah, shipping and handling.
Well, get Carl could hand deliver and it, and then he won't have
to. It's $1, but for $40, we'll ship it to you.
$77, we'll ship it to you media mail.
See, it's like free that way.
Yeah. When we come back, we have Bing Crosby, Lisa.
Yeah, we love that. We're going to have a little
Crosby.
Fun with Bing
Is he
going to
be live?
He's going to be in the studio.
Broadcast.
And we're going to do the Whistler. We have the actual woman who whistles.
I'm going to whistle.
Get out of here.
The actual original female Whistler.
Wow. Can't do it.
For the whole half hour?
hour.
Can't do it. All right, there we go. We have guests in the studio.
Yes, we do.
Dave
is not
the main man here. His show is coming up. Mm-hmm. Dave Plyer is coming up here at 2 o'clock, and he'll be on till what, 9, 10 o'clock?
Nine, ten o'clock tonight.
Until they kick him out of here.
Until the Super Bowl ends. Yeah.
And you have a very special guest who I have worked with in the past. Very talented. Not only. I know he does stand-up and comedy and things like that. He's a tremendous actor, this man here.
Yeah, it's Nipsey Russell's with us.
Nipsey Russell.
You know what?
So excited.
You know what? It's Rusty Nipple is what they call him.
Oh, wow.
It's true.
That's another portion of my career.
No, that's what he calls himself. I didn't make that up.
Wow. You know,
it's Jeff Rogers.
This is G-rated radio here.
It is, though. That's what he calls himself.
Jeff was in the
first... I don't
think
he calls himself that anymore. He's dead.
That's what he called himself.
Dave, Jeff was in the first movie I ever produced.
Wow.
Thanks a lot for ruining my career, my friend.
I was just going to say, look where
Thanks
he
a
is
lot.
Now.
No, Jeff
You're welcome.
Was in my movie Temporary Girl, and I'm sure a lot of people out here that are listening have not seen this movie.
So you
sure
produce porn at some point. That's interesting.
Yeah.
We like to call it bedroom photography.
Yeah, we like to call it... G plus a few other ratings.
Okay.
But Jeff played a really great part. It was a major part in the movie.
It was a very fun script.
And there's some, I mean, some people in this movie are, you know, the guy from 30 Rock was in it.
Who's
you know, I can't remember his name now.
Scott Adsit?
Scott Adsit. And then David Pasquazi is in it.
At Second City. Scott
That's
and
right.
I toured together at Second City. And Dave Pasquazi is excellent in everything.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Lisa Coton, tremendous in it. She wrote it and starred in it. The movie, you should see it. And he plays a great part. Jeff's great in it. It's a movie about a girl who is turning like 40,
I
believe.
He's made me watch it like 15 times.
Have you seen it?
It's on beta.
Have you seen it?
No, but I was going to say, here's a shock. I play a jerk.
Oh no!
So in the movie, so I know that's going to.
And he does this a lot in the movie. He has one of those
stress
ball, and he's got the stress ball.
We can't
Lisa,
see you on the radio.
It's a hilarious.
I've
movie.
Seen it.
Oh, have you?
You made me watch it.
Did I?
You forced me to watch it.
You know what I did?
If you want to be my co-host, you must watch my movie.
I put the toothpicks in her eyes like that. You know,
it's pretty much how it went.
Clockwork Orange. Yeah.
Was it Clockwork Orange or was it Marathon Man?
No, it was Clockwork Orange.
No.
Orange, they taped them open and he had to watch the thing.
They did.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Marathon Man, they did something with...
That was the teeth. Wasn't that the teeth?
I can't remember
like,
now.
Am I safe?
Anyway.
Yes, it was. Marathon Man was the teeth and Clockwork Orange was having
the
eyes open.
There you go.
It's
so good to see you, buddy. Everything going good for you? Career-wise is good?
Amazingly well, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'm going to listen because I want to hear what's going on in your life.
We'll cover all the business.
All right. What else is on the show?
He's got a big announcement today.
So we're breaking news.
We're breaking news. At 3, you got to stay up.
Okay. Uh-oh, that might be a problem.
I'll still be driving.
You can catch it on the podcast tomorrow.
I will be sleeping by then. You're going to have to help me out before I leave.
Catch it on the podcast afterward.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But yeah, we're doing Super Bowl. Sam Panianiewicz is going to join us, and we're going to do Super Bowl commercials like we do every year. And have you seen any that you like?
Yeah, I saw a couple. Some
Anything
good
that
ones.
Excites you?
Not yet.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing
not
much
that
excites
great.
Him. So.
But I have to say, that might be the case.
Yeah, it's an interesting crop this year.
Yeah.
It's not as exciting as it usually is. I mean, usually there's one or two that everybody, I got to tell you.
Buzz, yeah.
I'm not sure we're going to have one this year that just bowls people.
Unless we haven't seen it yet.
There are a couple of
surprises,
teasers
yeah.
and surprisers. Yeah.
Okay.
So surprisers. Your segment's over now.
Surprisers. Yeah. I'm done. There we go. Thank you very much. Can't get it right home.
What else are we doing? We're doing, Andrew Solt, original producer of The Sullivan Show, is going to join us because it is the 55th anniversary of the Beatles on Sullivan. And he manages, I think, the entire library for Sullivan. So we'll talk to him. And then John Cusack is going to join us toward the end of the show. And he is touring around with some of his movies, always sells them out. He's doing High Fidelity at the Genesee Theater. And then he does a live Q&A afterwards. So he's done The Sure Thing and Say Anything. It's like the 35th anniversary. So we'll have him on toward the end of the show. Roger and I are going to talk about, Roger, I didn't email you about this, but we'll be talking about the greatest halftime shows in the Super Bowl.
Oh, the musical shows, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carol Channing actually performed in one of the halftime shows in the very beginning, believe it or not, who just died.
Oh, I can. She's actually performing in this upcoming one.
Well, it's that, really,
that's so that might be a really problem. Exciting. Yeah. You know, I was listening to Howard Stern today.
Trooper.
And he was talking about the Super Bowl.
So were we on the ride in. He was fabulous.
It was a little bit earlier today, and he had somebody out in the streets asking people what they thought about the Super Bowl game last weekend. And awesome. And they asked him all sorts of specific questions, and these people were literally making up answers. Did you enjoy the game? You know, did you think it was a really good match? God. And they're all like, yeah, I thought it was really, and what did you think about the commercials and the halftime show? And people were going on and on. And maybe they just didn't want to feel like they missed the boat. I don't know. It was
that's pathetic.
You could literally hear them answering the questions about the Super Bowl that has to happen tonight. Of
Kimmel
course,
does that sometimes.
It was
too,
crazy good. Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, it was sad and kind of funny at the same time. I don't know, some kind of crazy humor, but it was fantastic. Wow.
Lisa's a huge Howard Stern fan. She loves Howard Stern.
I don't see how you couldn't. No, I don't know.
He's great.
I have to tell you.
He's genius.
He's
me.
A great interviewer.
I agree.
He is.
We could all learn a few pointers from Howard Stern.
Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you tonight.
Stick around because Dave Plyer's up next, and then we'll be back here at sometime.
We'll be back here at 11 in 21 hours.
All right.
See you then, guys. All right, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Lincoln Carpeting.
When you're thinking Lincoln, better carpeting. Well, let's call National 29000. National 29000.
Anytime you're ready to start the news, let me know.
You know what? I just looked at Curtis as I'm reading it. I'm like, you do have it ready, do you?
You know what he did yesterday? You know what he did yesterday? So he's sitting over in the sports office. Sports office, and he says, hey, Roger, come here. Does this sound right to you? And he plays the commercial. Because I think he was serious. I thought he was like audio from the Blackhawks game or something.
Yeah.
And he says, "Here, come here. I'm not sure if this sounds right. Tell me how you think it sounds."
We had, like, we did Chicago Classic commercials last week. So we had Lincoln Carpeting and Hudson 32700 and all that stuff.
Nice.
But this is the one we tortured with a myth for three
actually,
hours
it's
straight.
Been since last year.
Yeah.
You started this.
Yeah.
How did that, like, get to me all of a sudden?
I have no idea.
When you're thinking Lincoln, better carpeting, well, let's call National 29000. National 29000.
You're going to hum in that all day
long
tomorrow.
Someone get the phone, please.
It's 204. Here's Roger Pattison.